We're starting a new sermon series today, and I'm so glad those of you that had plans to spend out in the yard today, and it's your sunny three-day weekend and stuff, you woke up and you were like, why don't we just go to church instead of spend time outside in the sun because it's raining? Because God said, I want you here in church today because I have something for you. Now, today, we are kicking off a sermon series titled, Why Am I Here? And the series is going to end on October 10th when we do water baptisms. So I'm hoping that throughout this series, some of you are like, hey, you know what? One of the reasons I'm here is to go the next step with my faith and get water baptized. But, you know, for several weeks, we're going to be touching on this. This is an age-old question. Why am I here? What am I doing here on this earth? What is my purpose? Well, I don't like just floating through life anymore. And these are questions that we ask when we don't know what our calling is, or we don't know that God has placed a calling on our lives. Before we were even born, God has placed a calling on our lives. And this is something, this calling is something that only you can do. Only you can do. The calling, Russ Interante, on your life that God has is something that only you can do. Linda Loggins, it's only you can do. Ron, nobody in this room can fulfill the calling that God has on my life, and nobody in this room can fulfill the calling that God has on your life. It's all for a specific reason. And today we're just gonna lay the groundwork for this, and we're gonna find out why that calling is so special. But see, people who don't know this, they don't understand that they have a calling, or maybe they don't even have a relationship with Jesus, they find their calling in their career, or maybe in their marriage, or in their family as being a parent, or in their education, or in their hobby. They think, that's my calling. The calling is deep. The calling is spiritual. It's something that your Creator has planted in your heart long before you were even born. And when you don't realize this, oftentimes we go through life and it might bring about a false sense of security, or it might bring about some loneliness or some confusion. It might even bring about the drifting through life without feeling like you have any real purpose. And so with all that being said, this series is based off of a passage in the book of Romans. We're going to look at that. Romans 8, starting in verse 28. And for those of you that don't know, I teach out of the New Living Translation, so that's what I'm reading from. Romans 8, 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to them. And having called them, He gave them right standing with Himself, and having given them right standing, He gave them His glory. What's the word highlighted there three times in this passage? Called. There's a calling on our lives. See, as believers in Jesus, we are called for a specific purpose, for a mission in life that God has for each of us to do. But this isn't something that just comes without added benefits. You see, God, in my mind, is like the best employer ever. He's got the best benefit package that you could ever receive. You don't have to haggle with Him about some insurance or about better pay or anything like that. He's got the best package you can receive. Because look at some of the added benefits. God causes all things to work out together for the good of those who are called according to His purpose for them. Everything's going to work out. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have any turbulence and not going to have any issues and not going to have bad days and bad weeks and stuff. But it means in the end, it's going to work out. It means that when we look for Him in the midst of our crisis, we will find Him. And if we don't find him, we got to keep looking for him. And when we come out of it, we can look back and say, oh, there he was. He was there the whole time. See, God chooses each of us to do great things in his name, but it is up to us to respond. We have to respond to that calling. And if we do, he then gives us right standing with him. And when this happens, we receive his glory. What does that mean, right standing? There's a word I was having a conversation with somebody this week about. Right standing is favor. It's favor. It means that I may wake up today and God may say, there is some trouble coming down your path today, Chip, but you know what? I don't want you to have to deal with it because you've got this, this, and this going on. So I'm just going to kind of hold it back while you go through the day today. That's favor. Right standing is, how about this? When you have an issue with a coworker or a neighbor, a family member, friend, or something, God protects your reputation and gives you right standing to those around you. I mean, I don't know about you, but I like that. And then he gives us his glory. I mean, I don't even think I can give you a definition for that. That is just, he gives you all the stuff that he has for you to get through life here on this earth. So those are some benefits that we receive when we answer the call that God has on our lives. But let's expand this a little bit more, kind of in the form of a prayer that might have a little more of an impact on you or for you. And this very same prayer is something that I pray for all of us as we navigate through this series. It's a prayer that the Apostle Paul started out in his letter to the church in Ephesus, to the Ephesians. And it says this. This is what Paul prayed for them. And when we read this, this is what the Holy Spirit is praying for us as well. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Throughout this series, I pray that your hearts are just blown away by the spiritual insight and the spiritual wisdom that God has for you, that you cannot even believe the amount of hope and confidence that you are beginning to get in your walk in God, in your faith in Jesus. Because each of us have been called for a greater purpose than what we're possibly going through life right now. And not only this, but look at that last line. So we're doing a series in our life group, and it's about worship and communion with God and just walking out your life with God. And we touched on this last week, but look at that last line. His holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Oftentimes in the Bible, we talk about the inheritance that we will receive when we get to heaven, and I can't wait to receive that. But did you know that God sees each one of us, you, as his inheritance? Did you know you are his inheritance? Like an inheritance is something that somebody has designated for you specifically when they're gone. I have written this stuff out. I want these family members to get all of this stuff. And it usually should be something special because they want you to have it. Well, God says, you are my inheritance. And when I read that, I envision the creator of the universe going, Chip, I cannot wait until my kingdom, heaven, comes down and I can rule and reign on earth and you and I can spend time together. Because you are my inheritance, and I can't wait till we can spend time together. Does that not make you feel special? I mean, that's what our Creator says to us. We are his inheritance. So, question, and I need a response. Does everyone here want to know and understand the blessings we have waiting for us when we answer and live out the calling God has on our lives? Okay. If you said no, I hope you kept it in your head. I mean, yes, we do. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some things we need to know about our calling and why God put us here on this earth. Why are we living here on this earth, in this particular place, at this particular time, around these particular people? Right, I gotta add that, because sometimes people cause friction, right? But God put them in your life, and He put you in their life for a reason. So the first thing that we need to get settled in our hearts and understand is that our calling is a gift. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to repeat this. I want you to repeat, my calling is a gift, but I want you to say it to yourself so you mean it. My calling is a gift. My calling is a gift from God. And just so you know that I'm not making this up, I want to read a passage from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Now, the Apostle Paul was Timothy's mentor. And then Paul sent Timothy out to start some churches, or a church. And Timothy was a young guy. So he had a few things going against him. He was young, and some of the older people were like, oh, you know, who is this young guy coming in here to do this? Well, Paul writes a couple letters to him, and one of them here is, first of all, Paul starts out in verse 8. He says, never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either. Paul was in prison when he wrote this, so there might have been some like, don't associate with the Apostle Paul, he's in prison. I don't know. But Paul's saying to Timothy, don't ever be ashamed to share the gospel. Never. And then in verse 9, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was His plan from before the beginning of time, to show us His grace through Christ Jesus. God saved us and called us. And that calling has been put on our lives from before the beginning of time. Think about this. God is waiting for you to be born so He can wait for you to accept His Son Jesus into His life, so He can say to you, now it's time, let's go. I've got stuff for you to do. If you respond to it, it's the greatest adventure you'll ever experience in life. Our calling is a gift from God. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We don't bargain for it. And we definitely don't say, you know what, God, I didn't want to do this. I wanted to do this. Listen, life would be a lot easier if we got to make the decisions. Maybe. But it's simply a gift by grace that comes with our salvation, that God planned long before we were even born, before the beginning of time. I think this is Paul trying to say to Timothy. He's giving him a pep talk here. You got this, Tim. This is your calling that God placed on you from before the beginning of time. This is who you are. So before we I kind of want to sidetrack. This isn't in my notes, so this kind of dropped in my spirit this morning. But like, so you're sitting here and you're thinking, like, what is my calling? Well, I want to give you a couple of examples. Nathan Flieger, the young guy that was up here, okay? Nathan Flieger has been in this church, I don't know, high school, middle school, whatever. Young guy, okay? But as a young guy, he became one of our high school leaders, student ministry leaders. And now he's in college, and he's doing all this great stuff. He's an engineer, and he's making it. He's doing it. He's succeeding in life. But he's a high school student ministry leader, okay? So has he found his calling in ministry as a leader? Maybe. But Nathan, here's what I want to say to you. Here's what your calling is, okay? Your calling is, you are a great student ministry leader. But you know what you are even better than that? Our calling is deep. Nathan's calling is that he is a team player within a group of leaders. Okay? Nathan, I'm speaking this in your life because I watched this. Nathan is the guy that rallies everybody up to get behind what the leaders are trying to do. Nathan's the hype man. He's my hype man. He makes me feel good. We have, you know, he sends me all kinds of memes and stuff that just build me up and make me laugh. And then sometimes I'm like, Nathan,
I don't know about that one.
But Nathan's calling isn't just a leader in the church. He's a team player at that, and he rallies people behind the decisions that the leaders are doing. See? He's a gatherer. He's a cheerleader. He's a rooter. He's a rallier. That's what Nathan's calling is. My wife, Kim, she is talented beyond belief, and she wears many different hats, so many different hats that she makes me tired just watching her. She gets up at 5 a.m. She's making everybody's lunches, even my... You know what? I don't want to share this story with everybody. So speaking of lunches, when we got married, we were talking about the duties we do, and I'd say, well, if you cook the dinners, I'll do the dishes. And since at the time I was a school janitor, I will clean the house, and you will do the laundry, and I will do this. And then, so I used to have this really serious, like, OCD issue with things. But children will fix that. Children will fix that. Some of you, Kirsten, I don't think is here. Darcy, you might remember this. So Kim said, hey, I would like to pack your lunch for you. And I'm like, that's pretty important territory, Kim. No, really. We're married and we're in love and I want to pack your lunch for you. I said, well, okay, but you have to do it like this. You got to put two waters in this direction. You got to put a Coke on top of that. You got to put my sandwich laying on top, but there has to be a napkin in between the Coke and the sandwich or the bread will get kind of soggy. You've got to put three cookies in the bag like this and stick them in this side right here. You got to put this. I mean, it was very particular. I said, now, you don't have to do this. But she did, you know. And now I'm like, just throw it in there, man. Let's just... Now we have kids, so who cares? But Kim, you know, does all this stuff as a mom, packs the lunches, and then comes home from work and gets dinner ready and helps with the homework and does this and does that and does ministry work, all right? And she's a teacher. So you could say, my calling is a teacher. She's a very good teacher. Even when she preaches from a teacher's viewpoint, a teacher's heart. Well, that's her calling. No, calling is deeper than that. She's our music director for the worship team. Okay, so she's a very talented musician, plays a couple of different instruments, and she's good at it, very good at it. That's her calling, music director. That's a gift. That's a gift. What her calling is, she also oversees our women's ministry here at the church, but her calling is words of wisdom. See, when Kim starts moving in wisdom and starts whipping out Bible verses for people, I know that she is listening to the Holy Spirit and she is making a difference in that person's life. That's what her calling is. See, the calling is kingdom-minded. It's much deeper than what our gifts are. Walt and Khaleesi, are they in here? Okay, Walt and Khaleesi Hudson. Let me just give an example for them. So Walt works. He works a job outside the church. He also leads a life group. Is that his calling? Part of it, maybe. Khaleesi oversees our MOPS, and she's in, works with Kim with women's ministry, our mothers of preschoolers and women's ministry, and she's one of our children's directors. Khaleesi is, she's a ministry powerhouse. Is that her calling? Well, kind of. But it's deeper than that. So we're a reconciliation church. We reconcile people groups together, right? We have a group called Be the Bridge that meets, and we help people of different ethnicities get together and work stuff out. And Walt and Khaleesi oversee that. And they have a peace about them. They have wisdom about them. They have a spirit of understanding about them that helps different people come together, white, black, brown, whatever, and work this stuff out to where reconciliation takes place. That's their calling, right there. So does that kind of make sense? Does that kind of help you understand what the calling is when we talk about this? It's much deeper than like surface level stuff. Sometimes you gotta figure it out and just work at it. So, all right, that's sidetracked back into my notes here. So when it comes to being a gift, okay, here are some things that hinder us from walking out that calling that God has for us. the mistakes we make in life, the sinful things we've done in the past that we wish nobody knows about and we think God is ashamed of us about, the hurts from the past that we hold on to. See, mistakes, sinful things, hurts, things from the past that we hold on to now become a part of who we are, and it keeps us from advancing to who God wants us to be. You see, because if we hold on to the things of the past, it becomes a part of who we are because we're not letting go, and then it comes out of our mouths. If you remember, there's a story when Jesus and the disciples were eating some food, and the religious leaders came by, and they're like, your disciples are unclean. They're not doing things the way the Jewish religion should do it. And Jesus said, it's not what goes in a man's mouth that makes him unclean. It's what comes out of his heart. So when we hold on to things, hurts and mistakes and things of that nature, it hinders us to become who God wants us to be. See, here's the biggest thing about that. We have an enemy out there, right? The devil. If he can get you to hold on to the hurts and the mistakes and the things of the past, he's done his job. If you're not going to let go, he knows that. He's going to sit on the beach for a while because he's already got you where he needs you and his job was done. We got to let go of that stuff. Because let me tell you something. See, despite all the things from our past, God sees our potential. God doesn't look at the things of the past. He looks at the future and where you're going and where he wants to take you. He's not concerned about that. In the process, he'll help you figure that out if you would loosen that grip from it. Does that make sense? Listen, if I held on to the things of my past, we wouldn't be here with each other. Everybody's got stuff that they're ashamed of and stuff. Let go of it. God's not ashamed of it. He's not ashamed of you. He isn't. He loves you beyond belief. So how do I know that God's not ashamed of your past and things of that nature? Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us, we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The moment we say yes to Jesus, God says, you are a new person. You are a masterpiece. I love everything about you because I created you. You are my inheritance. I can't wait to spend eternity with you. And the things that we can do together, I saw long before you were even born. You got to move in here with me. So again, if the enemy gets us to think about we're worthless or we're not worthy or we should be ashamed of our past or the things that hurt us, you know, that person is a real, you know, and we hold on to that. If he can get us to hold on to those past hurts and things that we've done, his job is done. But God sees each one of us as a masterpiece, and we are his inheritance that he is just waiting for eternity to happen so he can spend with us. Now, some of us might feel a little bruised, a little neglected, or a little bit beat up from the world or from the things in our past. But you know what? Nothing changes the value in our lives the way God sees us. Nothing changes the way God sees us. Each one of us is a masterpiece in his eyes. Some of us need to have this on our phones or as the home screen or something so you can just get that settled in your hearts. And the reason God holds us up as such perfection, we look in the mirror, we're humans, we see all the flaws. God doesn't see that. He holds us up as perfection because when we get that settled in our hearts, then others can also realize their calling and their potential in life given to them by their Creator. We can't help others like that if we're constantly holding on to the past. Do you see what I'm saying? We've got to move out of that. And this is why it's important to be a part of a body of believers. This is why it's important to belong to a church family. I want to read real quick here in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There was one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. This is the church right here. There is one body and one spirit. That's worldwide. And then within that body, there's different bodies. There's different families, bodies of Christ that make up all the different churches and denominations and everything. We look at denominations like, oh, I wouldn't go over there. You know what? I think God says, I like this. I know that the different denominations were brought about because of differences, right? But somebody might be more attracted to a Methodist church than a Vineyard church because of the way they do church. You know what? At least they're in church. That's all that counts. We all have the same goal. So amen to that. So there's one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. Belonging to a church family, and then even deeper, being a part of a small group within that church family, helps us better understand our calling. You know, the reason that I gave those examples is because the calling is, it's deep and it's sacred. Something that God places on each one of our lives before the beginning of time, I'm pretty sure that's sacred. I'm pretty sure that's important. It's not surface level stuff, but it's also not like so complex we can't figure it out. It is impossible to walk out our calling if we're not connected to other people. We were not meant to go through life alone. Calling and community go together. We have a community here that meets on Sunday mornings, and then we have smaller communities that meet throughout the week at different places in our small groups. We call them life groups. But when we have a group of believers that we connect with on a regular basis, we have a better chance of realizing what our calling is than if we're just sitting at home Monday through Saturday doing our 9-to-5, coming home and watching TV or staring at our phones and iPads, you know, all evening long, and then getting up and going back to work, and then coming here on Sundays and doing our thing and then going back home. I mean, small groups is where it's at. That's where life begins. That's the heartbeat of a church. Because we have other believers who can speak into our lives, and we can do the same with others. We learn from others when we're in small groups. We can figure this thing out. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 says that we are partners with those called to heaven. Did you ever think that? I mean, there are way more passages that have that word called and calling in them. Now, I'm throwing a lot at you today, but I was like holding back too. So, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and are partners with those called to heaven. Phil Strout, the Vineyard National Director, we are in October. He is going to move out. He's been the director for a number of years, and we're going to install a guy named Jay Pathick. I'm really looking forward to that. We voted on Jay. He was my guy. There's another guy that I really like, but Jay Pathick was the guy. And I'm looking forward to him overseeing the Vineyard as a national director. But Phil Strout had a saying, we are better together. We are better together. And plus he's from Maine, so he's got that Maine accent, and it's just kind of, we're better together. That's how he says it. But it sticks, you know? Whenever I hear him say that, I'm like, yeah, we are better together, Phil. But he's talking about small groups. He's talking about doing church together. These partners who are also called are those that are close to us. They're the deep friendships that we make in small groups. See, if we want to be wise with this calling placed on us, then we must hang out with those who are striving to do the same. Ask questions in your group and be willing to accept some correction if needed. You know, I have other Vineyard pastors that I meet with, and I've always got Pastor Dave that I can always rely on for anything that I need. I've got my wife, I've got other leaders around me that I hold myself accountable to, so that I know that I'm on the right path. I might even throw a couple of sermon ideas by Pastor Mark, you know, throughout the week to say, am I on? And he's like, yeah. I just want to make sure that I am doing what I am, and I am open to correction. I am open to critiquing. You know, I'm constantly critiquing myself to make sure that I'm doing what I think I should be doing within the kingdom of God. And so we have to be open to that too. We learn from each other. See, that's why a healthy church has healthy small groups. And we'll touch on that later on in this series. Small groups are the heartbeat of a church. And when small groups are thriving and small groups are moving, then they're in sync with the church, and they're in sync with each other, and we're all moving together, doing this thing called life within the kingdom together. Amen? And I often think that what we do here on earth determines what we are going to do in heaven. As much as we would like heaven to be sitting on a cloud, playing an instrument with a sash, I don't think it's what it's going to be like. I think we will have things to do there. And I think we will have heavenly duties. We will have eternal duties that we have to do. Because how we deal with the things that Jesus entrusts us with here on earth determines what he can trust us with when it comes to our eternal duties. So I just, one more, we're bringing it home here. This is in the chapter of Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 16, and it's a story that Jesus told about a manager who was misusing his boss's monies, and he was ripping people off, and he was doing all this shrewd stuff. It's called the parable of the shrewd manager. But Jesus finishes it by saying this: if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? You know, the gospel and kingdom-minded stuff isn't game playing. It really isn't. It's serious. And when you take it as serious as you should, Jesus recognizes that. He really does. Now, listen, I like to goof off as much as the next guy. Ask the guys in the control room this morning in our meeting. We were laughing so hard that we had tears rolling down our faces, and I wasn't too sure that I was going to be able to not goof off up here this morning. But I honestly think that the Holy Spirit is right there laughing with us, because it's funny, isn't it, guys? It's funny stuff. They're just laughing because it's me laughing. But we have fun. But then, once we get the service down and we leave my office, it's business. It's church time. It's go time. It's kingdom stuff that's about to happen. Could it be that with our calling, God is entrusting us with little, and he wants to see how we do with it? How are you going to do with the opportunities that I give you? How are you going to do with the people I bring into your lives? How are you going to do with the money that I give you? Because our money is not our money, it's God's money. Everything we have belongs to God. How are you going to do with the giving that I'm asking you to do? I'm asking you to give. I'm asking you to tithe. I'm asking you to support the church. Are you doing that? How are you doing with the people I have placed in your lives? And how are you doing with the calling that I have on your life? See, if we are faithful with little, then God can trust us with more, and then that more becomes all the riches in heaven. That's a big deal. When we share the kingdom of God with those around us here on earth, And when we help others in a way that pleases Jesus by fulfilling our calling, then we gain the benefits of God's eternal kingdom and all its glory. Forever. Forever. Eternity. We can't comprehend that right now, but it's a big deal. Rewards are worked for, and rewards are earned. But it's not that hard to lose a blessing that God has placed on your life. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to give up the calling that God has called you to do for Him. Because if we're not listening, He's going to move on. Or He tries to get our attention. He tries to get our attention. He's got stuff to do. He's got people He wants to reach. And He wants us to do it. But if we're unwilling, it's like when you ask somebody to do something and you keep asking and asking and asking and they never do it. Do you move on to another person? Exactly. That's what it is. The calling is sacred. It's placed on our lives before the beginning of time, before we were even born. And here's the thing. The last thing, I live my life like I'm going to face Jesus, not tomorrow, but when I face Jesus, that didn't come out right. I live my life so that when I come face to face with Jesus, I don't want to hear Him say, I tried to get your attention, but you were doing your own thing. I tried to get your attention, but you wanted to bargain with me and go over here when I wanted you over here. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we should all want to hear. Kingdom stuff is not games. It's as serious as it can be. The moment we say yes to Jesus, we no longer live for ourselves. It's not our lives we're living. It's Him living through us for the kingdom. We then become kingdom-minded people, looking where God is at in the workplace, looking where God is at our Thanksgiving family functions that we didn't want to be at, looking where God is at with our neighbors and our small groups and the new person that came. And are you looking to where God is at in your life? Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Are you a kingdom-minded person? Because we become kingdom-minded people when we begin to fulfill the calling placed on our lives before time began. Amen? So I'm going to wrap it up with some points to ponder. You like that? Those points. I think that was a Pastor Dave saying, points to pastor's ponderings or something, I don't know, but it creeps out on me all the time, Pastor Dave. I just I can't help it. We all have a specific calling in our lives, okay? On our lives. Our calling was known to God before we were even born. Our calling is a gift from God. Nothing can change our calling. Not our mistakes, not our mess-ups, not our hurts. Nothing from the past can change our calling. Not even the devil himself can change our calling. Our calling is connected to others and the body of believers that make up our church and our small group. Our calling is connected to others, those that we're around. And then last, our calling and how we walk it out determines how we get to share in the glories of God's kingdom for eternity. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank You for today. God, I thank You, Jesus, for those here today that were like, oh, I get it. I'm in. I love it. I was thinking about this. Now I know. If that's you, the Holy Spirit wants you to know It's time. Let's do this. And God, I just pray that as we work this series out together, Lord, we begin to understand the importance of a calling, the importance of being kingdom-minded people, and the importance of reaching those around us for the gospel. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.